Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by a new friend from the Twitterverse. It is Jason with Broto World Fantasy, a website I've been following for the last couple of weeks here. I really like their statistical tools. I think they're pretty cool. Jason, how the heck are you, man? Do you have a last name?
Yeah. thanks for the kind words, Eric. My name is Jason Petropoulos. My podcast is actually, it's three brothers, with my brothers Michael and Tim as well.
Awesome. Yeah. I haven't heard the podcast, but Broto World does such great work with some of your really interesting stat tools that I talked about earlier that I really enjoy looking at some of the splits you guys put out. And I just I want to start with a few basic questions. So, who are you a fan of? What's your team?
So we're all Jets fans. We're New Yorkers at heart. But when it comes to fantasy football, once you start getting into fantasy, it really just becomes all about the players. We do root for the Jets, but we were actually at the game last week.
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah, the Jets are like low key one of my more like favorite outfits in the NFL right now. I like all these young new quarterbacks coming in, and I think Sam Darnold's the guy. Do you agree with that? Do you think Darnold's your man's for the next few years at franchise quarterback, or do you think you guys are doomed for more years?
No, I certainly hope so. Coming out of the draft, Michael, my brother who hosts the podcast with me, and Tim, me and Michael were more on the Baker Mayfield tree. But we were happy with Sam Darnold. So, I mean, we see bright things in this future. He's been a lot better recently. If you don't mind, I could talk about one of the stats that we use to help support that statement.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay, so I'm just going to give a little correction, Eric. We're Broto Fantasy, not Broto World. I know, it's with Roto World all around there. So we're at Broto Fantasy on Twitter. Our name is Broto Fantasy Football. Our website is BrotoFF.com. The FF, it's easy to remember, fantasy football, right? So the stat I want to talk about we released recently is called True Throw and True Target Values. Eric has found that useful and is a fan of it. That's why he asked me to be on. Thank you, Eric, for the support and having me on. So to discuss that a little bit, it was really... So let me ask you a question, Eric, in terms of... Because I know you're more of a real football than a fantasy football guy. How do you feel about Corey Davis as a player?
As a player, I think he's a great route runner. Sometimes struggles with drops, but on film, like, if he had a better quarterback throwing to him, I think he'd be an absolute monster.
Exactly. So that is, I love that you just said that. That brings me to my point here. If he had a better quarterback throwing to him. So what we wanted to do with True Throw and True Target Value is we wanted to put a quantitative value on targets. In the past, it's always just been a number, right? So it's been Corey Davis gets 11 targets a game. You want to use him in fantasy football. He's a good player in real life, but he's getting a lot of work. But when those throws are coming from Marcus Mariota instead of, say, Russell Wilson, for example, they're a lot less efficient, so it's not as valuable for the wide receiver in terms of fantasy and real life. So what we do with these values, it's in terms of fantasy points because we're a fantasy podcast, but would you say in general, Eric, that fantasy kind of coincides with real life, like the better players are better in real life?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm not a huge fantasy football guy, but I definitely a lot of things that come out of fantasy football. DVOA, which I don't quite understand yet. I'm still working it out. I think it's like, I'll shift the conversation to that. I have been following football here for 5 or 6 years now. I consider myself pretty smart about the game, but just in this past year, the DVOA stat has popped up. I sort of understand it. I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, though. It's like how well a team does per average drive based on a scale of what the league is doing on average. Is that somewhere near correct?
That's essentially what it is. It's the value over the average. So basically the number you're looking at is how the team compares to the average team in the NFL. You essentially got it right, yeah.
Yeah, the one question I had about your quarterback throw true value obviously is, so how do you guys determine that?
Okay, yeah. So I'm gonna finish off what it's about real quick. I never really got to the end of it.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, it's my fault. I was babbling too much. It gets me excited. I've been working on it a lot. So. Really what we tried to do, it'll actually answer your question in the process. We don't want to give out too much information, right? Because this is also a statistic that we don't want the bigger guys, Roto World, for example, to copy, take it, and then we're done, you know?
We're trying
to make this a thing. So to try to keep it concise but also specific, it's really an efficiency tool. So in terms of, we tried to look at quarterbacks in terms of their fantasy points, essentially how many fantasy points they should get every time they throw the ball. So we wanted to get rid of randomness. We wanted to look at everything the quarterback does on a big level, but then get a number on a micro level that tells us his efficiency. So every time he's throwing the ball, how many fantasy points should we expect? And essentially, that'll tell you who the better quarterbacks are. And in terms of the receivers, the running backs, and the tight ends, we take the targets that they see, the number, the quality, and the quantity of them, and give a little bit of weight as well to the recent play, and try to measure how important these targets are, how valuable these targets are. And, for example, if you have a player that's seeing 5 targets from Patrick Mahomes, in a fantasy sense, in terms of fantasy points, that is a lot more valuable than getting 10 targets from Case Keenum, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the quarterback ranking stat has been really helpful, at least for me, because it makes me think a little bit differently about guys who are throwing the ball right now. For example, Deshaun Watson, who this year has had his really one of his better games as far as the stat goes last week with a 0.706 kind of fantasy points per throw. Am I getting that right?
Essentially, yeah.
So I noticed that and I went back and I stumbled upon this last week and I went back and I kind of backtracked it, and it just blows my mind the fact that Deshaun Watson is having one of the most amazing seasons from a second-year passer in recent memory, and he hasn't had a sophomore slump. He's gotten better, and he's somewhat untalked about, but I just wanted to say that's what this stat is really useful for if you're a real football head and you want to figure out, you know, who's throwing well, who's passing the ball well. Like, the higher you get, obviously, the better you're performing. And there are some guys on this list that, you know, I don't give a ton of credence to. But you look at a guy like Ryan Tannehill, a guy I don't believe is necessarily a great quarterback. This stat would back up the point, though, that there has been some progress for him, especially on a year off an ACL, even though most of his throwing yards are coming with passes to Kenyon Drake. I really enjoy this stat, and I just wanted to let you guys know. I think it's an awesome tool, and I think people should check it out. It's www.brotoff.com/QB True Throw Value. So with that, unless there's anything else you want to add, can we get to the games?
Yeah, get to it.
Awesome. So let's start with the Washington Redskins and the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to take a more fantasy-based view on this one. Man, I had Derrick Henry for a little while, and then week 10 I was like, oh, this ain't working out anymore. And I dropped him, and it was the worst mistake I ever made in my life, because the man has been on fire the past 2 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, nobody really saw this coming, the fact that he's just been a monster. It's been insane. And if you look at his numbers over the season, and even if you looked at just the way he ran the ball, even if you don't look at the numbers, it wasn't all that impressive. He just looked like a big guy that was getting tackled every time he got touched. And just to see what he's been doing the last 2 weeks. And then last week he played 70% of the snaps. That was his highest from before that. His high was 52%. So it's obvious that the Titans are just going to roll with him, and I think that Washington's just going to continue to get steamrolled.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as far as playoff relevancy, this game's obviously got a ton for the Titans. They got to keep winning, but you know, Redskins. I know that Marcus Mariota isn't shows a lot that I'm blanking on Jacksonville's quarterback's name last second. That's how poor he performed last week with 57 yards.
Cody Kessler,
correct. 57 yeah. yards. The man had more rushing yards than he did passing yards last week.
Unless your name is Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, it's never good.
yeah, it's definitely never good. And I don't know. I think the Redskins' defense has played well. I think they could keep it close, but in the end, I think you're right. I think I'm going to have to take the Titans here. Speaking about Lamar Jackson, the Saturday showcase game is obviously the Ravens and the Chargers. What kind of fantasy value should Lamar Jackson have going into next year, now kind of set in stone as the Ravens starter? If we were to have a draft for the 2019 season today, what roundabouts would you take him in?
Yeah, so when it comes to Brodo, we are very anti-drafting a quarterback early. We think that you can find value in the later rounds. There's a lot, especially in a one quarterback league. So I would rather try to take a venture on what number quarterback we're going to end up ranking him. Like, if I had to rank quarterbacks for next season now, I would assume that we'd have Lamar Jackson somewhere in the 8 to 12 range.
I think that's a little bit strange, seeing as his value as a runner, and you can obviously pick up a lot of points there. And I don't know. I don't think he's unlocked his full potential as a passer yet, but I think he's got it in him. I just don't think the Ravens have really let the reins off him, which annoys me.
8 to 12 is... Sorry, you think it's too high or too low?
I think it might be a little too low. Like, I could honestly see Lamar Jackson being valued. Well, it depends on how you value Cam Newton. I would say Cam Newton is close to one of the top two available quarterbacks in fantasy. If I were to draft today, I'd probably have Mahomes as one, and then Cam Newton as two, when he's fully healthy, as the top two guys you want in as a fantasy quarterback. And I don't think Lamar Jackson's far behind. I think he might be more in that 5 to 6 range.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. You know what the issue might be, though? We'll get into the game here as well, because this is an issue when it comes to facing the Ravens. They run the ball a lot, and they take a lot of time of possession. So fantasy points can be limited when you and your opponent are running limited plays because you're killing so much of the clock.
Right. That's a fair point. I had never actually really deeply considered that. But you're absolutely correct. More clock time you run, less offensive plays you get, and less fantasy points, therefore. I had never really considered that. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. That is kind of a mind-blowing thing to think about.
Pace of play is important in fantasy.
Yeah, which is weird because, you know, you look back to Ezekiel Elliott's rookie season, one of the best fantasy years for a running back in recent history, and the Cowboys killed so much time of possession, but he was still able to have such a productive year with even the limited amount of carries he got, because that offense wasn't rolling, which makes that even more impressive, I think. As far as the... I don't know how to call this, how to transition smoothly here. I guess the, quote, real football in this game is concerned. I think the Chargers' defensive line is the answer to the Ravens' offensive line. I think that the offensive line has performed really well the last few weeks, but Joey Bosa is getting back to a Pro Bowl level. Melvin Ingram is playing insane, and Uchenna Nwosu is really starting to kind of emerge as a great middle linebacker type guy. I don't know. I could see the Chargers giving the Ravens some real problems and kind of starting to shut down the run a little bit in this game.
No, yeah, I definitely see potential for that.
Do you trust any of the Ravens' running backs as a viable fantasy option, seeing as they have so many, as they're running, you know, Dixon, they're running Montgomery.
Yeah, Gus Edwards.
They're running Gus Edwards.
What you touched upon is important, that the Chargers' defensive line is healthy and just absolutely killing it. So it puts a little bit of a damper on. Gus Edwards is the best play there just because he's been getting the most work. But he has zero targets on the entire season, so he's strictly a runner. And if he's not able to find the end zone on his 15 to 20 rushes, or if Los Angeles is able to contain him, it's not going to be a great day for Gus Edwards. So we have him more as a touchdown-dependent back-end RB2 flex type of play.
Yeah, absolutely. Who you got in this game?
I think it'll be a close game. I think the Ravens could keep it close if they control the clock. But Phillip Rivers, going back to true throw value, he's been amazing all season. He's a number two quarterback on the season, number three most recently, meaning he's one of the most efficient passers. So I think that even in limited opportunities, the Chargers will be able to score and win the game.
Absolutely. You look at the Bengals and the Browns, and my question for you on this one is obviously Tyler Boyd still questionable for this game, but he's had an amazing breakout season this year. Kind of going into next year, I know that the Bengals obviously have A.J. Green, but even when he came off his injury earlier in the season, he didn't look like the same guy. Do you think going into 2019, Tyler Boyd kind of maybe becomes more of the number one receiver in Cincinnati? And where do you right now kind of value him again going into next year's draft?
Yeah, I mean, an important part of your question is the fact that there have been rumors that the Bengals might even trade A.J. Green with his free agency coming up soon and them not really being super contending team. So if that were to happen, Tyler Boyd's value would skyrocket. But Andy Dalton had a pretty solid season before he went down. He was posting an above-average true throw value. So if Tyler Boyd continues to see the targets that he was seeing, which I don't see why he wouldn't, especially out of the slot, teams are realizing now that slot work is very important. Tyler Boyd can definitely end up in the wide receiver. I'd say for now I'd probably rank him somewhere in the wide receiver 30 to 36 range. If A.J. Green were to get traded or something of that sort, though, it'd definitely jump up.
Absolutely. You look at the Browns on their side of the ball. I want to ask you more of kind of, obviously, you're a Jets fan. You said you were on the Baker Mayfield train coming into the draft. I've asked this to a lot of people this year. What have your thoughts on Mayfield been like? Is this kind of what you expected? Is he overperforming, underperforming in your opinion? Like, what do you see from him that you love? What do you see that you think he can improve on? And what's your general feel on Baker Mayfield as an NFL quarterback about 1 year through?
Yeah, honestly, I love Baker Mayfield. I think he's the truth, and I think everything he's done so far shows that. If I'm going to look at the last 4 weeks, his true throw value is fourth in the league, so he's been the fourth most efficient quarterback, and this is his rookie season. So of course it's going to be growing pains. He probably isn't the best decision maker at times, but I feel like if Greg Williams is going to stay there, then okay, but if they're going to bring in another coach, I just want him to get acclimated with an offense that uses him a little bit more as well. I feel like, I mean, you can't really argue with the numbers, though. Nick Chubb has been amazing. But I feel like if Baker Mayfield, if he just hones down his decision-making a little bit, because sometimes he just makes throws that are a little bit questionable, it's been mostly positive for him this season.
All right. Who you got in this game?
I mean, are we going to trust Jeff Driscoll and the Bengals? I don't think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of a rhetorical question, I guess. Yeah, the Browns are obviously the better team, and I think they should handle the Bengals really well. Although, Jeff Driscoll, I don't know if he's that much of a step down from Andy Dalton. I'll be honest with you. Like, he's...
Okay.
He... obviously there's a difference, and obviously you prefer to have Andy Dalton in, but if you look at the way the Bengals have produced on offense the last few weeks, hasn't it been... I haven't really seen a drop-off. Yes, Driscoll had a bad game last, 2 weeks ago, but against the Raiders, he was great, and against... I'm not sure my read on Jeff Driscoll, but this more tells me I don't know if I believe in Andy Dalton as an NFL starting quarterback anymore. Maybe that's okay, just me, though.
I can see your point there. I think that the Raiders game, though, had a lot to do with them just showcasing Joe Mixon. Driscoll completed 14 of 33 passes, so it's not like he was...
Yeah, he didn't light it up. Their
defense stepped up as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that Driscoll's not running enough. He's an athletic quarterback. I feel like that could add another dimension to their offense, and he hasn't been doing it lately.
Absolutely. All right, the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. First off, I want to know who you got in this game, and then I do have a little bit of a fantasy question for you. I have the Cowboys. I think they're bouncing back.
Yeah, actually, I think that the Buccaneers' defense has been much better at home.
Yeah.
The Cowboys' offense has been much worse on the road. But right now, it's the other way around. So the Buccaneers' defense is very bad on the road. The Cowboys' offense is great at home. So I'm going to have to go with the Cowboys because they're home. And ever since they got Amari Cooper, him and Dak Prescott at home has been money.
Absolutely. Is Ezekiel Elliott flying under the radar as a fantasy player right now? Because I feel like Todd Gurley's gotten all this pop this year. And yeah, he's great. He scored so many touchdowns. But Ezekiel Elliott has quietly had his a better year than his rookie year this year.
Mm-hmm. I think what's being thrown under the radar in terms of his numbers this year, he is seeing more targets than he ever has in his life. Since Absolutely. Week 9, he's seen at least 5. He had 13 in week 14, so he's becoming this dual threat player that a lot of people are giving Christian McCaffrey credit this year. A lot of people are giving Todd Gurley credit for that this year. But everyone's really not noticing that Ezekiel Elliott is also doing that. I think that has added another dimension to his game that's putting him in that upper echelon.
Absolutely. I checked his stats last week. Isn't he close to about 70 catches this year?
It should be something around that. He's been seeing a lot of targets lately.
Yeah, absolutely. The Vikings and the Lions. What is Dalvin Cook? Because I feel like, as far as fantasy goes, you can't count on him to produce consistently week to week.
This season has definitely been a roller coaster for Dalvin Cook. But recently, it's been an issue of volume. He just wasn't. He was either injured or not seeing enough work, and now he's been getting better as he's been getting more touches. We need to remember that he's a young player that has been injured a lot, so he hasn't really been on the field too much in his young career. So getting more looks can probably help him out in getting a better feel for the NFL. And because some of the plays he's making, I think he has the fastest speed of any player this season, according to one of NFL's advanced stats. Like, in play, he had one of the fastest speeds. That spin move he had last week was insane. So as long as he's getting the volume, he's shown that he's capable of handling it.
Yeah, and obviously with this change in coordinator, they've shifted to a much more run-heavy philosophy, so I know that I am one of many fantasy owners counting on him to try to get me a decent place in my league this week, even though I've been eliminated from all my playoffs. I guess I should ask you that. You're a fantasy guy. You obviously have fantasy teams. Your main fantasy team, how'd you end up doing this season?
I would say that I have 4 main teams.
Okay.
There's 4 of them that I really care about, because 2 of them are listener leagues, Brodo listener league, so, you want to show up in those, right?
Right.
One of them is a home league, and then another one is a Sanegato studio league. If anyone out there, Joe Sanegato, great guy, very funny, he has his own podcast and stuff. It's a league in there, so I cared about all of those. 3 of them I got into the playoffs. 1 of them I just I got hit by the injury bug, and I tried my best to work the waiver wire, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. That was in the main league we played, but I still give my brother shit for it because I've won the championship two times over the last 3 years, so it's okay to have a down year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I am in the championship right now, and I lost in the playoffs in the other two. I'm in a championship right now in one of the Broto leagues. And actually, I used my wide receiver true target value very effectively in the playoffs because my team, again, very injured. I lost A.J. Green and others. But two weeks ago, I was able to use Kenny Stills because I knew Ryan Tannehill has been so efficient. And then last week, I used Robbie Anderson, noticing how efficient Sam Darnold was his first game back from injury. And both of those hit for me. So I'm riding the free agent pickups right now to the championship.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about a guy in this next game, Colts Giants, but I want your opinion on it, and that is T.Y. Hilton, because he has, I don't know, he has not scored a ton of touchdowns, which obviously hurts him, but he's put up really good yardage this year. Do you still view him as a wide receiver one type guy?
He's in the back end wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two. You'd prefer T.Y. Hilton. If he was your wide receiver two, you're very happy. Yeah. Wide receiver one is a little iffy, but he's been amazing recently.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks, you guys have him tallied at actually a little bit lower than normal, 4 and 8, I believe. I want to make sure I got that right. No, sorry, that is Jarvis Landry. I was looking one too high. Oh, 12 and 8. So a good, you know, a really good looking last 2 weeks for him, obviously. So I want, again, to give you a chance to talk about your website a little bit. So the true values for wide receivers, is that how many points per catch you would expect them to get, or how does that differ from the quarterback, the true throw value?
The true target value is, that's not necessarily a fantasy points indicator. That's more so just a number that you can use to compare players.
Okay.
That's more the purpose for that one.
All right. So
because the whole point of this was to compare players, their quarterbacks, the targets they're seeing, the amount, the quality, and seeing which ones are the most valuable. That was the whole point of this. So that number allows you to compare the players.
Absolutely. What's the highest score a wide receiver has gotten this year as far as a true target value goes?
Probably Keenan Allen, week 13. He had 19 targets. Phillip Rivers has been one of the most efficient quarterbacks. He got red zone looks. All of his targets are basically always meaningful. Off the top of my head, it's probably Keenan Allen, week 13.
Awesome. Yeah, I am trying to find that right now, but I can't quite. My computer is being a tad slow. it's another great tool. I highly recommend you guys go check that out. Again, it's brotoff.com. Go check it out. Who you got in this game? The Giants have played better as of recently, and it sounds like Odell Beckham's going to be back for this game.
You know, the Giants have been playing better recently, but I can't fade the Colts. The Colts are a team that I don't know where your take is on this, Eric, but I love the Colts. To get into the playoffs over the Titans.
I love the Colts. Yeah, I agree. The Titans are a meh watch that kind of puts, they kind of put me to sleep. I love
always
the Colts. I think that they found their running game with Marlon Mack last week. I think they can continue that again against the Giants line that has not been able to stop a run since they got rid of Snacks Harrison. I would agree. I think the Colts run away with this one. And then you've got the Jaguars and the Dolphins. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this one because the Jaguars are obviously out of this. And the Dolphins are a team that, even though they could win the division, but I would rather see, of the teams I would least like to see in the playoffs, the Dolphins are number one, because I think they are just the most meh team you've ever seen. And I hope they finish 8-8 because that would perfectly encapsulate their season.
Hey, you're not going to find any arguments here for me. The Dolphins and the Titans are on the same field for me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Bills, Patriots. I want to talk about this from a real football perspective because I think Josh Allen played his best game of the year last week. I don't think it's really close. The Patriots are coming off a tough loss against the Steelers in which their linebackers looked just incredibly slow and awful, in which they were killed by penalties. Josh Gordon, of course, today the news gets out that he has received a lifetime ban from the NFL. I disagree with the ruling because I think it's ridiculous, the NFL's stance on drugs. But I hope he gets help he needs. He was taking time away from the team for his mental health again, so that's good. But the Patriots are down a lot of guys. I kind of smell upset here. Am I crazy to think that? I think Josh Allen with his legs alone can torch the middle of the Patriots defense.
You know, I was actually looking at it from the other perspective where I feel like if the Patriots get up early, that's going to force Josh Allen to scramble a lot, which will lead to him running more. I just don't know if I can buy that the Bills are going to win this game. Josh Allen has actually been a lot better recently. In the beginning half of the season, before he got injured, he only put up one game above league average in true throw value. Since then, in three of the four games, he's been above average. So he actually, you're 100% right in that he's been a lot better recently. But to think that they're gonna beat the Patriots in Foxborough, I don't know if I can get on that bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time talking myself into it, but I'm gonna take the Bills in my game. That brings up an interesting point that I kind of like. This formula for quarterbacks. You look at Sam Darnold and kind of Josh Allen, and they kind of have the same paths. Weren't guys that were great before they got injured. They got some time to step away kind of mid-season and then come back in. Obviously, I don't think you'd ever see that much quarterback change if they weren't injured, but I feel like, honestly, sitting on the bench, especially for Josh Allen, was probably the best thing to do, and I honestly cannot believe the fact that the Bills have suddenly found two great wide receivers in Isaiah McKenzie and Robert Foster. Foster especially, he's had like 3+ 100-yard games. I don't know. I think they might have a keeper there.
Oh, Foster's looked great. McKenzie, too. Working out of the slot, Josh Allen's been using him a lot. Also in the running game, he's been getting looks. You see a lot more of these guys who are very athletic getting chances, and it's exciting just for the game of football in general.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's move on to your New York Jets and the Packers. So, I guess, what are your thoughts on how this Jets season has gone? Where are you at right now as a Jets fan?
As a Jets fan, I am at the point where I think Todd Bowles should have been fired in week probably four.
Probably.
If it was up to me, I would have fired him before the season.
Probably.
And you know what it is? It's not even... I'm just going to go to basic clock management, penalty, stuff of that sort. Stuff that coaches just need to know how to do. Todd Bowles has proven time and time again that his teams are going to get penalized, that he does not know how to control a clock, that he's not going to go for it at 4th-and-1 at the other team's 40. So just stuff like that over and over again, I think he's just proven that he's an inept coach. I'm done with him, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, it's a fair opinion to have if you're a Jets fan, and I probably would have fired him after the defense let the Bills score 40 on him without Josh Allen. That was, I think, the point of the season where the Jets, yeah, really went south. Hey, Sam Darnold looked great against the Texans last week. For a second, I thought maybe he could even lead him down the field for kind of a last-second comeback. It just strikes me that this Jets team now has a quarterback, and I think zero talent around him. So there are definitely some big moves. What do you think about Mike Maccagnan? Do you think he sticks around as well, or do you think they're getting a clean house?
I feel like they're going to give him a shot because he was able to. I mean, he got Sam Darnold, but he hasn't been great with his moves other than that. I want to see if they're going to keep him around or replace someone else. I want to see the Jets try to finally get an answer for a pass rusher because they keep taking these guys. Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson, Snacks Harrison, Leonard Williams. None of those guys have ever been true pass rushers. They've been great at stopping the run. Snacks Harrison is probably the best run stopper in the game for Detroit right now. But we need someone who can get to the quarterback. That's all I want in New York. Why can't we just draft a J.J. Watt? Is that so hard?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, those guys are hard to come by. But, it certainly should seem easier. I was a big Leonard Williams believer for a little while, but this year I've kind of lost patience. He has not done what he did his rookie season, which is surprising because he had a pretty good rookie season. And
and then there comes a time where you expect him to turn a corner, and he just hasn't.
Yeah, he never really progressed from there. Moving on to the Texans and the Eagles, and my question for you is it finally time to anoint the new number one fantasy wide receiver to take in your leagues, DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm going to say no.
Wow.
No knock to DeAndre Hopkins. But to be the number one overall wide receiver, I want someone who is going to see more work. And Deshaun Watson, I've talked about it a lot on Brodo. Before the last couple of weeks, he went almost 7 straight weeks of not even surpassing 250 passing yards. And it was all fine and dandy because Houston was winning the games. But they became a run-first team, and that's when they became successful. So DeAndre Hopkins is, of course, going to be a great wide receiver, probably top 5 I'll rank him. But the number one, I might be hard-pressed.
Yeah. All right, you look at the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers shut down Cam Newton. And as I'm hyping up this game, I realize I don't want to talk about it a ton. Is there anyone fantasy-wise we should be watching in this game outside of Christian McCaffrey?
To be honest, not much. I'm not a big fan of Matt Ryan. I've talked about that on the show, too. I feel like a lot of what Matt Ryan has done this season has been in garbage time and from Yak. I think that he's had a kind of overrated season when you look at his numbers. So besides, Julio Jones might even miss the game with an injury, but if Julio Jones is going, of course you got to throw him out there. I think Tevin Coleman is an interesting play with Ito Smith gone for the year because he's going to get the full target, just the full share for the targets and the rushes. He's going to be an RB2 for this game, but it's not much outside of that.
Absolutely. The Rams and the Cardinals, another game, not a ton to look at. My question for you is this: obviously the Rams brought in CJ Anderson earlier this week. How much do you expect he's gonna be a part of this offense kind of down the stretch spelling Todd Gurley? Do you buy it? Because I know the Panthers early in the year obviously tried to bring him in. That never really worked out as Christian McCaffrey kind of emerged as a superstar guy this year. Do you think that this kind of duo backfield for the Rams will work? Because they've never really done this before under the McVay era. I know it's been short, but it's always been a very girly or nothing heavy kind of running back offense.
Yeah, to be completely honest, I wouldn't be surprised if CJ Anderson was off the team come next week. I just think that, or even after week 17, I think that this is insurance because they do have Justin Davis and John Kelly behind the Todd Gurley as well, so if they decide to take Gurley out at halftime or something, Davis gets injured, fine. Then you have Kelly and C.J. Anderson. I feel like that's where they're going with this, a depth move. I really don't see a situation where C.J. Anderson's going to push Todd Gurley for work.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bears and the 49ers, I got a crazy, crazy take for you here. If your fantasy playoffs somehow go into week 17, I think you need to start Jordan Howard, because I think late in the season the Bears, I don't know if I'm wrong in thinking this, I'm obviously not a fantasy guy, I feel like over the past 4 weeks, Jordan Howard's value has gone way up for some reason. And I think it's honestly because the weather got colder and they started to run the ball.
I mean, that could definitely be it. You're 100% right. He's seen at least 16 rushes in the last three games. So I don't know what they decided to do. I don't know what Matt Nagy... I guess he just woke up one morning and decided he wanted to use Jordan Howard some more. So, I mean, he's become a pretty valuable player again. He's a little bit touchdown dependent for my taste in fantasy standards, but he's proven time and time again that he's a legit running back. So as long as he's getting volume, he should be able to be solid for the Bears in real life speak.
All right. The Steelers and the Saints. The game of the week, obviously. What do you think about this Steelers team? Honestly, do you think, because they are by no means out of the woods yet, and they could still miss the playoffs. What do you think about this team? Do you think this game is winnable for them? They're obviously coming off a good win against the Patriots, but the offense didn't really show up for the second half of that game.
Yeah, the Steelers are a tough team. I've been saying for, I'd say, about 2 or 3 years now, I just don't trust the Steelers. I don't think they're a Super Bowl. I don't think Big Ben's a Super Bowl quarterback anymore, and I know I'm in the minority of this. But if you just look at his home road splits, he just has been a completely different quarterback on the road recently. It's been a few years now where this is the case. And, you know, he's going to have to play all of his games on the road. And he's always been worse on the road. So I just don't see the Steelers as a great... I don't see how they can win a Super Bowl with the team. But, of course, they're always going to be a competitive team. They are a very good team. So I definitely see... I see a chance where they can beat the Saints because the Saints offense has sputtered like crazy recently. What do you think in terms of... Because in terms of fantasy, we look at it as... You know, there hasn't really been anyone who's stepped up outside of Thomas and Kamara. But what do you think in terms of like real football? Why have the Saints struggled?
I think, honestly, and this might be kind of a dumb answer, but I think it's because they haven't played at home that much over this stretch. And I really do think there is this huge difference between the Saints playing at home and the Saints playing on the road, because you look at the last 3 weeks, and they have been on the road all 3 weeks, and they have struggled all 3 weeks. I think getting back to the Dome is going to fix all, because when the Saints are at home, they are the most dangerous team in football. I can't explain why Drew Brees can't play outside. I just know that he struggles with it. But I'd say... It's not a great football answer because there's no real reason they should be struggling, but I do think it's just because they've been outside. I think the Cowboys defense was obviously a great defense at home shutting them down. And the Cowboys, I think, honestly, are the only team I could see stopping this team in the NFC. But outside of that, I think it all has to be blamed on weather and the outdoors, because I just don't think they showed in the second half, in just the fourth quarter against the Buccaneers, but the offense still works and is still a juggernaut.
Yeah, I'm going to let you in on a little secret of mine. I say it on Brodo a lot. Traquan Smith... The combination of Traquan Smith and Ted Ginn. When Ted Ginn went down, Traquan Smith just jumped right into Ted Ginn's role. When they're at home, it's been a while since he's been home. The last home game, he was injured, and they just had three road games in a row. When they're at home, Traquan Smith is basically a must-start fantasy wide receiver. And that has a lot to do with the Saints offense as well, because for some reason at home, Drew Brees feels a lot more comfortable throwing the ball at Traquan Smith. And when you add another weapon to Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and Mark Ingram, that makes a big difference.
Right. Who you got in this game?
I'm going to roll with the Saints.
Yeah, I agree there. The Chiefs and the Seahawks. Any way in your mind that you could see the Seahawks beating the Chiefs in this game?
Just to be honest, I don't. The Seattle defense, besides against the Vikings when DeFilippo got fired right after, they've just been getting lit up by passers, including Nick Mullins twice. So I don't see how they're going to stop Patrick Mahomes.
No, I would agree. I think I got the Chiefs in this one. And then wrapping up, I am a suffering Broncos fan.
How did you feel about signing Case Keenum this offseason?
I'm a big respect Case Keenum guy, but I no longer hold that stance. I've decided to stop making takes on two quarterbacks, Case Keenum and Blake Bortles, because whatever I say, they do the polar opposite of. So I've just decided to retire from Case Keenum and Blake Bortles takes. I'm not a huge fan of Keenum. I think when he plays smart, he's a bad quarterback, and when he plays dumb, there's like a 1 in 4 chance he'll have a good game and light up the scoreboard, and then other times he'll throw 2 interceptions. But I think the Broncos are like the Jets, hurt by coaching. But I mean, several outlets have come out and said Vance Joseph is expected to be let go after this game, so I think there's a coaching change coming. And honestly, I think as far as fantasy goes, I would not start a single Broncos player this week, even Cortland Sutton, because I think they might just shut everyone down and take those last two losses and fight for draft position. At least that's what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see where you're coming from. I disagree a little bit just from the fantasy perspective. I think that Philip Lindsay has earned the right to be startable. And then I think you named the wrong receiver. I think that Deshaun Hamilton, he just stepped right into Emmanuel Sanders' role. So I've looked at him a lot from the fantasy perspective because he's seen 21 targets over the last 2 weeks. He's basically been Emmanuel Sanders, so he's been a great play for whoever picked him up. In a real-life sense, you're a Broncos fan, of course. You watch the Broncos. What do you think of Deshaun Hamilton?
I'll be honest, I haven't seen a ton out of him. That I everyone has told me, oh, watch out for Deshaun Hamilton, but I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I was not, but for me, I don't think I'm a good judge of wide receiver talent. I don't know why. As far as middling to low guys go, I didn't think Sutton was all that special until about last week when he was doing it consistently. I think that's the Broncos' biggest problem at wide receiver, is they just have no consistent playmakers. Like, they have talent, but no consistency.
No, oh, yeah. That is an issue, of course. It has a lot to do with Keenum, too, though.
Yeah, absolutely. A ton of the blame falls on Keenum, and I think that's all we got for week 16. Well, hey, Jason, my man, thank you so much for coming on, and I'd love to have you on again sometime.
Yeah, no problem, Eric, anytime. Before I go, I just want to remind the people that we're at Broto Fantasy on Twitter. If you want to follow us, because you don't just have to be a fantasy fan. If you're a football fan as well, every single Sunday, we tweet every single touchdown as soon as it happens. So if you like being informed of touchdowns, and you like we'd like to tweet breaking news as well. If you like all that stuff, you don't need to be a fantasy fan to follow us at Broto Fantasy. And then, of course, the stat we've been sharing is on BrotoFF.com. And I want to thank Eric one more time. You've been a very gracious host. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no worries. We will be back on two. Schedules get changed a little bit with Christmas. I forgot that Tuesday is Christmas. So we will be back next Thursday, and we'll do kind of a week 16 recap and a look ahead to week 17. But we'll have three shows next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we'll have one out Friday. All right, man, thank you so much for coming on again. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.